Good morning and welcome to the Fisherman Ministry, Grace Chapel, out here in the desert of West Texas. Thank you for joining us for our Sunday morning service.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Word. We ask that you guide and direct those that minister that Word on your behalf throughout the world this day. We ask that all that you would have here, that you open up their ears, that you open up their understanding and their hearts, that they might receive it. In Jesus' name.
Submit to your word. You are faithful. Give the Lord a cheer.
All right. Wow, yeah, I got a few more smiling faces out here today. It's pretty cool. You can take a seat. You guys been watching the Olympics? Some of the Olympics? Eh, so-so. Yeah, the Winter Olympics is my favorite. I don't know. Just one of those things. I grew up in the north, grew up in the snow. Yeah, I like to ski. You know, the luge is one of my favorites, actually. And curling, but, you know, I digress. I was watching a little bit of it last night. And, I mean, one of the things that you see with, you know, these Olympians, as with any sort of elite athlete, is the amount that they practice. I have a little bit of experience with this. When I was younger, I was, you know, on the cusp of being one of these elite athletes. My particular sport was hockey. And I know, for me, that's all I wanted to do. That was it. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I just wanted to play hockey. Didn't matter if it was summer, didn't matter if it was winter, didn't matter if I was indoors, didn't matter if I was outdoors. I figured out a way to play hockey. When I was young, I was on my knees with a little piece of wood, and I'm slapping it around the house. I'm sure my mother was pleased with that. But yeah, I'd go outside in the summertime with a tennis ball, smack it against a wall. And then as I grew up, you know, I had particular skills that other folks didn't have. You know, I was able to do particular things because I'd done them over and over and over again. And it was just sort of second nature, right? And as I was a young teenager, I started getting into more of these, you know, elite teams and things. And, you know, even there, one of the things that sort of separated, you know, a group of us, maybe, you know, there's 20 guys on the team, maybe there's five or six that I'm going to call this sort of select group. I mean, one of the things that separated us was we couldn't get enough. Right? We go to practice would be over, we'd find a way to practice more. You know, we'd come back when the rink was closed, and we'd turn on the lights, we'd go in, we'd skate until 4 in the morning. But then there was the other folks, the other 15 on the team, and they sort of just, you know, they'd show up for practice, you know, punch the clock, that sort of thing. Then they'd go home, and they'd show up the next day, punch the clock, and go home. And they felt like they were doing all they needed to do. I'm on the team. Our team is awesome. But they never sort of stepped out in that and took it to their own and really pushed forward, pushed through it. Found out what their limits were. I remember one time we were trying to do a particular, you know, play and all this, and I told the guy, hey, you know, we got to practice this so that, you know, when it comes game time, you know, we can pull this off. I'll be ready when it comes game time, he said. It's another story, but he wasn't ready, and, you know, things didn't go well. You look up the word practice, and it says in the dictionary, it's frequent or customary actions for instruction or discipline. And further down it says, practice leads to habit. Now, I mean, I've been talking about athletics. I mean, you can apply this to anything. I mean, what are you practicing in your lives? What am I practicing? Am I practicing the things that please my flesh? Am I doing all these things that make me feel good, make all these people around me feel good? Or am I practicing the things of God? I mean, what am I practicing? You better be careful, because practice leads to habit. If you're going to be practicing these things that aren't the things of God, you're going to come up with yourself with a habit. Are habits easy to break? No, I got some head shaking out there. That's right, they're not. But you know what? There is a habit that can be good. Amen? And those are the things of God. So if you're practicing those habits, keep practicing them. Keep doing them. I want to turn over to John. I think I was looking at 14. Yeah, it's 14. Let's see here. I just wanted to highlight a couple verses here. I'm going to start reading at 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know thy way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. For from henceforth ye know him, and I have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and ye hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go on unto my Father. And whosoever ye shall ask, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, thousands, I'd probably say, of Christians are in total ignorance as to the power of God which they can walk in. Right? I mean, that simple little verse there. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Turn over to Mark 16. I was going to look at a couple verses there. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I mean, we see in the Word a bunch of different folks that have walked this out, right? We see Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Elijah, Elisha, I mean, et cetera, et cetera. Christ came doing miracles and healing. The apostles and many others did the same. And Christ promised that all believers should have the signs of the gospel following them. And every believer should be able to do the works that he did. Amen? Now, I mean, this truth is not one that you're going to hear in a lot of churches out there, is it? But it's a truth. It's a simple truth. I mean, you need to know that everything that God ever promised to a Christian is for you. God has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you'll accept the truth, as you can plainly read it in the Scripture, you can receive these promises and move forward in Him and practice those things which He did. Amen?
Praise God. And greetings to those that are here and those that are listening by the internet and those that are listening at a later time by audio.
I apologize.
That's all right. I need a little accent there anyway. I thank Scott for setting a nice little foundation and opening for my topic today. And last night, the Lord was showing me some stuff. Yeah, I got this problem. Maybe I'm the only one with it. I don't know. But I've got this problem. And I look around and I watch people. And I pray for people. And I wonder, what's the matter? Why don't they get it? It's right there. And I think the Lord gave me something to give to you today. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. You've heard this 1,000 times. 1,000 times or more. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, all your needs, whatever they may be, will be added unto you. And it occurred to me, the problem is not with what he said, it's with our understanding of what he said. People read that and they say, oh yeah, if I seek his righteousness, then all these things will be added. But how do you seek his righteousness? And what is his righteousness? Let's go over to Galatians for a minute. Chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I marvel. I'm amazed. I don't understand. That you've allowed yourself to be taken out. Of the grace. Which is in Christ. Under some other gospel. That's basically what Paul's saying here. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. In other words, it's the gospel with perversion added to it. It's not the pure gospel. They've added to the gospel. They've modified the gospel. And you bought it. Now, see if I can put this in a way that's easy to see and understand. If Tristan gets bit by a dog. I know, well, I'll put the dog down because it'll die because it bit Tristan. But now, if Tristan got bit by a dog and needed a tetanus shot, and I came along and I said, well, he needs a tetanus shot, but I don't want to waste all this good stuff on him, so I'm going to water it down a little bit. And I water it down with saline solution. And he only gets 5% of what he should have had in the tetanus shot. How good is the tetanus shot? It's not any good. It's been perverted. Amen? In order for that tetanus shot to work, he's got to have the 100% of it. Right? All right. Hold that in your thoughts here for a little bit. I can go on and read on about though we are an angel from heaven preaching it. You know that. You can read it yourself. But now let's switch over to chapter 3. Verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. That's only what I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Were you saved because you went out and did a 10-point system and accomplished these different points and checked them off and came back and say, okay, now I'm ready to be saved? Is that how you got saved? If anybody did do it that way, well, forget it. You're not saved. When a person's saved, they're saved because, first of all, they hear the gospel. And the gospel is simple. The gospel is simple. Jesus Christ came to lay down his life and to give his blood so that we would be made right with God. Because without that, you are not right. Go back to Adam in the garden. Adam in the garden was told not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But he did. And what happened? He found himself naked. He didn't start out naked. I know people out there preach, well, Adam and Eve were naked from the beginning. No, they weren't. Look at nature. Look at nature itself. God doesn't create a thing that is not clothed. Even the lilies of the field, the grass of the field is clothed. Jesus said it himself. So why would he make Adam and Eve naked? He clothed them with righteousness. A righteousness similar to his, but not his. It was a righteousness of man, or Adam. And when Adam ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that righteousness was taken from him, and he found himself naked. And what did he do? He covered himself. But he covered himself with a fig leaf. Which is of the earth. Amen? When God saw him, he showed him another way. He gave him the sacrifice that represented Jesus. And covered him with the skin of that sacrifice. The skin was better than the fig leaf. Probably a lot warmer too. But it was better because the skin of the animal was what came from God. And the fig leaf came from the earth. Adam came from the earth. Therefore, Adam chose to cover himself, watch this, with himself. He was made of the dust of the earth. He came came from the earth. The fig leaf came from the earth. Therefore, he could relate to that. But God took something different. And he showed a way. And then just to make sure Adam understood it, he cursed the earth and all that came from the earth, which is our curse. And because of that curse, you can be born, fresh born. There you are. The cord's not even cut yet. And you're damned. You're damned. Without hope. Without a way. Until you hear the gospel. And when you hear that gospel and you understand that it was Jesus that died and shed his perfect blood without sin as a free gift to you, that you can be in right standing with God. When you hear that and you receive that, then you're saved. And you're saved if you continue in that. But the Galatians over here did not continue in it. They received a perverted gospel. And they began to justify themselves by the things they did or did not do. And we read on a little further here. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore, they that which are faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now look. There's your key to Matthew. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Seek ye first the righteousness of God. Huh? You've got to turn loose any sense of righteousness you have in yourself. And turn it loose. Shed yourself of it. And stand firmly and only in the righteousness of God, which is Jesus. And when you stand in that blood of Jesus, and you stand in that grace of Jesus, then you are one with Jesus, which if you are one with Jesus, what? Then you are one with God. It does not make you God, but it makes you one with God. And as one with God, then you can do the works that Jesus did and far greater works. Then you can look Satan dead in the face and say, you sorry sucker, you will burn in hell. You know you're going to burn in hell, but I'm not going to join you. And you can take your lies, and you can take your sickness, and you can take all the garbage you want to lay down on people. To hell with you, because I am going to have no part of it. It's not going to be a part of my life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When you seek first the kingdom of God, you're recognizing the fact that in yourself, there's no righteousness. You take it. But you receive freely by faith God's grace through Jesus Christ. And then you walk in it. And if you practice walking in it long enough, it'll become a habit. It'll become something you do by nature, because you're taking on the nature of Christ. You can only take on the nature of Christ by practicing the nature of Christ. And practicing the nature of Christ is to believe Him and act as though you do. Amen? Don't sit around, oh, woe is me. I'm just a poor old sinner. And I can't do anything. If that's you, you're going to hell. You're right. You can't do nothing. But if you believe the gospel, then you can say, I do all things in Christ Jesus. And through Christ Jesus. And by Christ Jesus. And with Christ Jesus. Who is my strength? Who is my power? Who is my might? He is my Savior. Are you getting any of this? I hope the people out there are getting this. Because this is how you love. I can't love you except I practice it through Jesus Christ. Some of you just plain old aren't lovable. And I'm sure you believe the same thing about some of the rest of us. But it's only by living in that truth that I can love, that I can forgive, that I can serve, that I can walk. Amen? Got it? All right. Then praise the Lord.
These things.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your words. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship here. And I just ask, Lord, that we all come together, that we all believe, that we all follow, and that we may all lead in the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.